Good day, Chauffeur Durbanville. My name is Ross, and I want to say this is my second sermon in a series on the wisdom of stability. And I'm leaning heavily on the revelation, the writing of Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove, 2018 publication of this book. It was first published in 2010, and it's all about the wisdom of stability, finding a root and rooting our faith in the culture that is highly mobile. And I think when I speak about a highly mobile culture, great changes, catastrophic changes, I think we all can identify with it. We live in an era of unprecedented change. And this unprecedented change means that so many people are physically, so many of us and so many people in the world are physically uprooted from their communities in which they grew up, and they find themselves in other places. Now, this obviously was caused by disasters, both natural disasters like droughts and floods and earthquakes, volcanoes, or by political disasters, warfare, infighting, xenophobia, and things like that. And it's not just the fact that we are uprooted because of disasters, but also because of our own desires. We tend to, those of us that can, those of us that are upwardly mobile, that have the gift or the grace or the skill to find yourself in another place, to displace yourself from your homeland, from your small town, or from your city to another place. You can find yourself in a better job, a better country, a better city. We still suffer from the same ailment of feeling uprooted, feeling unstable. And we know what this causes. Psychologists and sociologists have written about this for the past 20 years, that we are suffering a pandemic of loneliness. At the same time, because of that, we're suffering a pandemic of anxiety and depression disorder worldwide. And this leads to infighting, to violence, to isolation, to fractured society because of the vast tempo of new people coming into a community, xenophobia, hatred, fear. And it also leads to classism, extreme fractured society, because some people are growing richer and richer and richer, those that can move upward in life, but those who don't have the skills or desirable skills for this time are left behind. So communities are becoming increasingly poor. And this all because of a sense of uprootedness, a sense of not being stable. So today I'm speaking about seeking stability. How do we root our faith as a community of believers? Why do we root our faith in a mobile culture, in a practical community? So the first thing I just want to say is that there's this quotation from Anselm, a 12th century monk and a Canterbury monk. And he said that restless people are like trees. He wrote 800 years ago. Restless people are like trees. When frequently transplanted or often disturbed, they will not take root anywhere, but withers and dies. If he often moves from place to place at his own whim or remains agitated because of hatred for the place, this unhappy person will never achieve stability with roots of love. And the picture is beautiful. And this picture is obviously taken from Jeremiah chapter 17, Psalm 1, where both the prophet and the psalmist says that he who continually rolls around without roots becomes a shrub that is dry and that is just blown by the wind, in contrast to a person that roots him or herself in a place, in a community, next to streams of living and are nourished, that gives life not just to itself, but its whole community. Everyone is refreshed by the fruits and the shade of this tree growing in the place. And that was his quotation. So I want us to look into a text in Psalm 137. It's a well-known text, and we have preached about this before, but I want to, in the light of this nostalgia, this longing for home, this sense of uprootedness, I think we can identify with the psalm and with the exiles that have been violently transported from the community in which they lived to this Babylonian city. I mean, the culture shock and everything was just massive for them. Everything has changed. And they sit there by the rivers. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Come on, sing us your songs, entertain us. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Is it possible for us to find joy, to worship God? Is it possible for us to connect to the life of God in this foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above all my highest joys, the people were moaning. And we can see that they were not just mourning, but their hearts were bitter because of the loss. And this root of bitterness set in against the Edomites and the Babylonians. Listen, verse 7, remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to its foundations. These Edomites, and the book of Edom is, the prophecy of Edom is written against that. And verse 8, O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you for what you have done to us. Blessed shall be he who takes your little ones and dashes them against a rock. Obviously, this text is not written as an example for us to do, but it speaks about what do we do with our emotions. And the core text here, the cry against the Lord was, God, is it possible for us to have joy again because everything was changed? And they understand that their joy has something to do, their loss of joy, their bitterness and their sadness, to a sense of being uprooted to catastrophic change that they experience. And I think we can identify with catastrophic change. And I specifically want to talk to people today, and I want to minister to people today that do not find flourishing joy in life at the moment. And it has something to do with the sense of not being connected, of not being rooted, a sense of not being stable, a longing for something else. And maybe when I opened earlier, you thought that, well, I'm also a person that believes that the good life is out there somewhere, that maybe a different job, maybe a different town, maybe a different house, maybe a different family, community, friendship. Maybe the good life is there. Maybe it is better in another country. Maybe it is better in another city. Maybe this is not good life for me. I want to see what God answers, because God, through the prophet Jeremiah, wrote to these exiles who said, can we have joy again? How can we sing the songs of God? Jeremiah 29, verse 4-7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your son, give to your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and have daughters, and multiply there. Do not decrease, but seek the peace of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its peace you will find peace. And I want you to see then, we've spoken about this text so many times in church, but in the sense of being uprooted, in the sense of longing for stability, longing for a flourishing life, not being like a shrub that is rolling around. God is saying, is Israel, my exiles, do not wait out the 70 years, which is written in this chapter. Don't just wait for two generations and let your kids survive and then go back thinking that you will not have a good life ever, that the good life for me is gone, that there's a sense of despair. Don't think that you will have to go back to that time or to that era or rebuild Jerusalem to have joy again. God says that there is shalom for you, there is peace for you, there is the flourishing life, is an invitation for you right here. Because I am the God who blesses you where you are. Seek the peace of the city where you are. And then he says this important cue. He says, these captors of yours, your shalom, your flourishing life, is locked up in right relationships with these people. Peace, forgiveness, reconciliation, joy, goodness. Love your enemies, Jesus would say later. Your joy is locked up with the people that physically live around you. These people who don't like you, that hate you, racist, you are their slaves. Your shalom is locked up in this physical neighborhood, in this city where you've been planted. And God says, you will have shalom again here. You will have peace here. The good life is right here because I am the God who blesses you. It's amazing how we tend to think that the good life is out there. God will bless me by taking me there. It's so ingrained in our culture that we're running for the end of the rainbow. And when we get to the rainbow, it's like it was a good trip, but then the rainbow just extends another while, another while, another while, because that's the way it works. But God is the one who said to Abraham, like we said last week, he said to Isaac that I will bless you on this ground where you're standing now, and I will bless you with this community that's around you. And this is the key that we find in this, that God says that bonds of peace, the roots of love, that the blessing of God is right here by rightly relating to the people around you. Shalom is not something in this text. It's not something that is there. Shalom is something that you receive as a gift and cultivate in your neighborhood. I'm going to say it again. Shalom is both a gift and a task. And it comes back to the first command that God says, let's create man in our image, male and female, and let them have dominion over the earth. And then chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, he says, to keep and to cultivate the earth. Shalom is a gift, and shalom is a task. We preserve what is good for the next generation, and we cultivate it. We make more of it. And God says this is what we do with neighborly relationships. Shalom is found in right neighbor relationships. And that's the thrust of what I want to talk about today. Without roots of love, we become enslaved to our insatiable desires and our ambitions. We are constantly enslaved to run after something, to never find roots. And after a while, we find ourselves not being able to find any roots because we find ourselves lonely, because we think that the good life is out there. But God says, no, it's something that you receive as a gift and cultivate where you are. Without roots of love, we become consumers of people and places. I will be in this job, I will be in this community until God opens the door. So I'm going to get everything I can from this community, and then I'm going to pluck myself out and leave. And then you leave a massive hole. Because when people pour themselves into you the whole time, but you're the one who moves on and on and on for your betterment, you become a consumer of people and a consumer of places. And we are not the ones who keep and cultivate the earth. Without the roots of love, we become disconnected from Christ, who became flesh and lived in Nazareth and in Jerusalem and in Israel for 30 years, giving himself to them for their benefit, for their peace. We become disconnected from Christ, who came to give, not to get. And without roots of love, we become ignorant of God's presence. We become ignorant of God's presence and His presence, His gifts that He gives to us. We disbelieve that God is able to bless us here. Dallas Willard, who passed away in 2014, I believe, the great philosopher, Christian philosopher, he said, he was famous by quoting, by saying, God, it's not possible for God to bless you anywhere you are not. And what he's trying to say is God can only bless you where you are. Wherever you go, there you are. Where you are, God blesses you there. And that's the pattern that we see in Israel's journey, the church's journey over the ages, the patriarchs. God blesses you where you are. So how do we cultivate these bonds of love? How do we cultivate these roots of love? Well, two things are necessary. First one, I mentioned it earlier, is for us to receive our community as gifts from God that are given to us for our salvation, for our growth, but they're also given to, entrusted to us as God's mission, that we cultivate godliness and shalom. We cultivate the reign of God, the peaceful reign of God. We cultivate good neighborly relationships to show that we are caring and loving people with them around us. That's the first one. So our hyper-connectedness has to slow down. It's amazing how we can be present to our neighbors and someone in front of you, but you think that it will be better for me to jump on my phone now and find joy with people that live in other cities and other worlds. You think that the good life is out there, and we've been trained, immersed in such a lifestyle, to not think that the good life is right here in front of me. And we do it with our friends, real friends, FaceTime as well. We would rather be on the phone and disconnected from them than look them in the eye and find joy and the good life here. We'd rather live in nostalgia in the past or in ambition far away. And that's the first thing. So a hyper-connected generation has to slow down to actually receive these people around me, physically around me, my neighborhood, my church people, my friends, these people around me as physical gifts. And the second thing is just to actually cultivate a robust community. And I will continue to speak about this for the weeks to come. And I'm going to pray for this. We have to build robust communities. That means, if my good life is locked up in the neighborly, the people around me, the people that I physically see, the people that I live and work with, the people that I worship with, these people, believers and non-believers, my good life is shalom, is locked up in these people and their shalom. And it has everything to do with the roots of love that we cultivate. That calls us to cultivate a robust community. It calls us to cultivate communities of love and of truth. It's not just my family, but I see it as a tendency. We are people that avoid conflict. And because something is uncomfortable, I'd rather just move myself away from this place because this is not lekker. I will find a lekker community. I will come I'll find the good life is out there. God can't bless me here. God's going to bless me there. I'm going to move away from this comfort. While every single, well, ancient society and wisdom and Christian history tells us that we have to speak the truth in love. We have to work at reconciliation. Jesus's way of life, the grace of Christ is present with us so that we can confront in love, that we can confess our mistakes, we can receive forgiveness, give and extend and receive forgiveness so that we can be reconciled. The good life is locked up in this stability, is locked up in this, the ability to forgive and the ability to confront, to speak the truth in love, to cultivate such a community. And this is something that I'm praying for. It's necessary for us to have a flourishing life, to be able to stay in a place. I find people that have been in church for a year or in town for a year, and they say, yeah, they still haven't connected well. And then Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove, he quotes the same thing. He says that he just tells people, well, you've been here for a year, so you have 1 year worth of community. After 20 years, you'll probably have 20 years worth of community. And he's just saying that it takes time to build bonds of peace with people. It's easier if the community is already built. And I want to trust God that we become such a community, that where you live, in your neighborhood, physically, with your 8, 9 neighbors around you, that you'll be able to be planted for their good, that you will be able to seek stability and bring stability and a flourishing life in your community. Not everyone will stay. Not everyone will stay. God is the one who also calls us to go. He said to Abraham, go. Jesus said, go. But where he lands, he says, I want you to speak peace here. I want you to cultivate peace here. I want you to cultivate something that people can see my kingdom. And this is my desire, that we become such a community. In closing, we're going to speak about this robust community again. But I want you to seriously pray about people that you live with, work with, and worship with. I want you to pray about that, about those people that you are avoiding because you think the good life is not there. I want to speak to people that have a tendency to move on, to move from place to place, to move from community to community. I want to challenge you to seek the peace of the city, to plant yourself for good. I want you to pray to God and say, God, the Benedictines always made a vow to say, God, I will not move away from this place because in this place I know that you will bless me. Whether it's in the desert or whether it's in the tropical forest, you are able to bless me here. I want you to have that conversation to God. And then I want you to go and to confront, gently pray about reconciliation, confronting the ones in need. We're going to look into Matthew 18 in a later session. Father, I thank you for this session. I thank you for the gift of recording. And God, I thank you for the gift of community, for the gift of relationship. And Lord, it's a heart's prayer. God, you say that you place the lonely in families. God, and we live in a disruptive world, God, a world that is uprooted. And I pray, God, for us as communities, as families of believers, God, as friends of one another, God, I pray that you will cultivate in us a shalom in our neighborhoods and our worshiping communities and our work communities, God, that we'll be able to see the people around us as gifts from you and to cultivate roots of love, God, where shalom, where good life, where joy can again flourish, Lord, that people can taste and see that you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.